How are we doing today?
I'm feeling good today, too. We are going to be in John 15 today. So you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. Today is going to be a little bit different of a message. As you know, we are coming out of a series on the last couple chapters of John that we have called Glory. And we've made it all the way through John. We're through the book. We're done with it. But before we move on to the next series, we thought it would be cool if we tied the Gospel of John to our theme, our emphasis of the year for our church, which is discipleship. Right. So this year, as a church, we're emphasizing discipleship. And so now that we're through John, we thought, hey, why don't we take a couple weeks and talk about what the Gospel of John has to say about discipleship. And so we're going to do that for the next 3 weeks. Now, obviously, we're still going to be teaching through the Bible, but just so you know, today is going to be a little bit heavier on application than a normal Sunday. But like I said, today we're going to be in John 15, and we're going to talk about what it means to abide in Christ. Last week, we had a men's breakfast. How many of you were able to be at the men's breakfast last week? Awesome. Good to see you guys there. If you weren't able to make it this time, make sure you make it to the next one. It was really cool. Thanks to Dave Notensky and his team for putting it together. But at the men's breakfast, we broke up into tables, and I was put at a table with some guys that I knew and some guys that I didn't know. And so, you know, we had to get to know each other. And I love meeting new people. I love hearing their stories, you know. Tell me something about your family, where you're from, how'd you end up in Washington State, what church background did you come from, if any, that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. But when you meet somebody for the first time, there's a lot of talking, right? You get to know people by asking and answering questions. But as you grow in your relationship with somebody, you don't have to talk as much, right? Now, you still do talk to your closest friends. Oftentimes, you know, you can talk to your closest friends for hours about important stuff. But you can also spend time with a close friend or with a spouse without saying a word, right? In a way that would be super awkward with somebody that you didn't know too well. There can be a connection through just sitting with someone, even if you don't say a word. Now, the same is true of us and God. Right? When people first come to faith, they often have tons of questions. And it's awesome seeing new believers just diving into their Bibles. They want to learn more. They want to, you know, learn more about God. And they have all these questions. And it's really exciting to see. When they pray, they often, you know, talk a lot. And they're excited about God. And all this is great. But there's also a form of communion with God. And I would suggest that this could even be a deeper form of communion with God. That doesn't involve words, right? We can just sit and dwell with God and listen for his voice. We can abide. Now, some of you know this, like you know this kind of relationship with God, and right now you're thinking, yes, I'm glad that we're talking about this today. Others of you are like, that sounds super awkward. Right? And to be honest, you know, it can be at first, which is where the practical stuff that we're going to talk about at the end is going to come in, because we can grow in this. We can grow in our relationship with God. So today, we are going to talk about abiding in Christ, right? How we can grow in our relationship with God. Second, we're going to talk about why this is important. And then finally, I'm going to offer you just some practical tips of just tangible things that we can do to grow in our relationship with Christ. Sound good?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Well, I am excited to get into God's word, but before we do, I wanna pray for us. So would you pray with me? Father, we just take this moment right now to quiet our hearts and acknowledge your presence here with us. And Father, I thank you for these brothers and sisters who have gathered with me today to hear from your word. We thank you for being a God who loves us and a God who speaks to us. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak to us today through your word, that you would give us, that you would open our hearts to receiving your word. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. John chapter 15. We're going to start by just reading verse 4. All right, John chapter 15, verse 4, and my eyes are getting real bad. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." All right, so this verse is going to be the basis of our sermon today. All right, Jesus tells us to abide in him. Now, the Greek word that John uses here, that Jesus uses, is the Greek word meno. And it's variously translated at different places in the Bible, abide or remain or stay or dwell. And it can mean any of those things depending on how it's used in a passage. Now, a good illustration of the meaning of the word is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 to 25, where Peter says, "All flesh is like grass, and its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains," there's our word, "remains forever." So in this verse, the word of the Lord is contrasted with grass and with flowers, right? Grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains or abides or stays forever. Now, guys, your wife might appreciate you getting her flowers on occasion, right? Ladies, some of you might appreciate receiving flowers. My wife likes the thought behind receiving flowers, but over the years, you know, she's had to tell me, like, "Hey, if you're thinking about getting me flowers, there's other gifts that I'd rather have." Okay? It's not that she doesn't like flowers. She does, and she appreciates the thought behind it, but she said there's other things I like more, all right? Now, why is that, you might ask? Well, I thought to ask her. I asked her, I said, why is it? She said, the reason is flowers are perpetually in the state of wilting, right? As soon as you put those flowers in the vase on the table, they're dead, right? And every moment, they don't look as good as they did the moment before, but they also look better than they ever will again. It's super depressing, but I appreciate the candor. It's like, okay, and so now sometimes I still do get her flowers, but I do know, like, hey, there's other things that she would like, that she likes more than flowers, because flowers don't remain. Flowers don't remain. And this is what Peter is getting at in 1 Peter 1 when he says, look, grass, it withers, flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is what Jesus is getting at in John chapter 15. Peter says, flowers wilt, the word remains. Jesus says, remain in me. Now, I've said a couple times during our different series on the Gospel of John that the purpose of John is to encourage believers to continue to believe even when they're facing the pressure to fall away, right? The theme verse of the Gospel of John says, these things I've written to you so that you might continue to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. John wants us to remain, to not fall away. But remaining in Christ is more than just not falling away. It is that, but it's more than that. There's also a sense of dwelling with Christ, of sitting with him, of being at home with him. Now, in a marriage, you have all kinds of interactions with your spouse. And Brooke and I have all kinds of different kinds of conversations. You know, we might begin the day with just kind of a casual check-in of like, hey, what's your day look like today? What are the kids doing today? Usually baseball, but like, you know, something casual. What's going on today? You know, or sometimes we have, you know, more serious conversations. Talks about our hopes, our fears, our concerns about our family. Sometimes we might have, you know, romantic conversations, reminiscing about our youth, you know, our first date, our wedding, you know, the birth of our children. But sometimes we might just take a walk with each other and not say a word. And sometimes the most powerful moments happen because you've remained with someone for decades. And so just being in their presence is enough. And that's what I think Jesus is getting at when he tells us to remain in him. There's a deeper aspect to the spiritual life when we can just dwell in Jesus's presence and commune with him. It's a form of prayer, but it might not necessarily look like, you know, kneeling and bowing and closing your eyes and folding your hands. It might look like that, but it doesn't have to. It involves just stilling your heart and listening for the voice of God. Now, New Testament scholar Rodney Reeves, this is what he says about abiding. He says, the Greek word for abide, meno, we've already talked about it, refers to both a place and an attitude, right? To stay at home and to be at home. So to abide with someone means that you're staying with them, you're taking up residence with them, you're moving into their home. But to abide with someone can also mean that you're remaining with them, that you're going wherever they go, that you're finding a home with them. So to abide means to live somewhere, but it also means to persist, to keep going, to remain, to last. And to abide in Christ means not only to stay with him no matter what, which we might call persistence, but also to find shelter in his words, right? To find a home. I love that image of finding a shelter in Jesus's words. There are times in my life when I pray and I have, you know, something specific on my heart that I'm praying about. You know, maybe I have a friend who's sick, or maybe I'm, you know, going through something stressful and I want to lay that before God and ask for help. But there's other times where the more meaningful prayers, where I just quiet my heart and listen. And it's in those times that, you know, God might bring to my attention something I did or something I said that I need to make right, or something I need to repent of, or maybe something I need to do, right? Someone I need to reach out to and encourage, or maybe something I need to, you know, look into, check in with someone, make sure they're okay. And sometimes my most powerful moments of prayer are when I just come to God without an agenda and just listen. And this is what I think it means to abide in Christ. It's to get to a point where you don't always have to be saying something when you're praying, where you can just sit and dwell and listen. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you might not, and that's okay, right? This is something that we can grow into. But why is it important to abide in Christ? Well, to find that out, I want to return to John 15. I'm going to reread verse 4, but we're going to add verse 5 this time. It says, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So again, we're back to this plant illustration. And Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he's like, a vine, you know, our branches can't bear fruit if they separate from the vine. As long as a branch is attached to the vine, it can bear fruit. But if it removes itself from the vine, it's not gonna bear any fruit anymore. And he says the same dynamic is true of us and Jesus. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The scriptures portray the human condition as hopeless. Right, and I'm sorry to be the one to have to break that news to you, but I also think that you kind of suspected it, all right? We humans are fleshly, mortal, and weak. Again, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I think you kind of suspected this deep down. And the world is filled with this power called sin that drives us to rebel against God and to act contrary to his will and contrary to his ways. And that's why Paul calls us slaves to sin in Romans 6. And Paul says, you know, if you try to live according to your flesh, if you try to live according to your own strength, you are going to be helplessly overcome by this power called sin, and it is gonna drive you to do all kinds of things you don't wanna do. And the end of that road is death. So Paul says in Galatians 5, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul says, if you try to live according to your own strength, man, sin is going to get the better of you, and it is going to push you in a direction that you don't want to go. You're going to head towards the pathway of death. But if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead, the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and starts to change us from the inside out. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And so through faith in Jesus, we can act according to the power of the Holy Spirit within us and not according to the power of our own flesh. And the Holy Spirit is stronger than sin. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. So because of that, Paul can say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So in other words, Galatians 5, Paul is like, hey, you live according to your own strength. You're just going to be overcome by the power of sin. It's going to drive you a direction you don't want to go. And it ends in death. But through faith in Jesus, if you live according to the Spirit, God is going to work in your life and he's going to change you. And this is what Jesus is getting at in John chapter 15, when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We're slaves to sin. We have to learn to stay with Jesus. In his book, Jesus Speaks, which was co-written by Frank Viola, but Leonard Sweet wrote this part, and he talks about the challenge and the benefits of abiding in Christ. And he says, staying is hard, right? Staying is not rewarding. Staying doesn't get you recognition. Staying is staying. It's being there, being in the moment, chomping at the bit, restraining yourself, deferring gratification, putting oneself in a waiting, receiving mode. And it's one of the hardest things we will ever do in life. But staying also gives us the freedom to hear Jesus speak. He says, drop a slab of bacon on the floor and tell your dog to stay. All right, how hard is it? It says, a dog who knows how to stay, who hears the voice of his master and obeys it, even facing a slab of bacon, is a dog that has freedom. Dogs that learn to stay, and not just sit and stay, but to truly listen and obey, these are dogs that can go anywhere and do anything. They can go outside without fear. They can go on long walks without leashes. They can always be close to their masters. They can stay close and live close. Now, forgive me for this. Forgive me for a moment as I compare ourselves to dogs. I know it's not a super flattering illustration, but I think it works. Like, theologically, it works. I have a dog. Her name is Poppy, and she's very cute. There's a picture of her. Yeah, you guys are not helping. You're not helping, all right? She's lucky she's very cute because she's not a very well-behaved dog. But my kids love her, and so we're stuck, right? Some of you guys know that pain. No, I'm kidding. I like her too. But this is her as a puppy. Poppy is now 60 pounds, and she is afraid of everything. She's afraid of everything. And it makes life difficult sometimes, especially, you know, when we have to do things like take her to the vet. All right. So we have this friend who's a dog whisperer. And she was like career military. She worked at like the military police, trained dogs for the military police. So we took Poppy to her and we're like, please help us with our dog. Can you help us train this dog? And so she worked with Poppy for a while. And you know, after a couple sessions with her, she pulled us aside and she said, you know, some dogs are just like this. Just like people. Some people are like that, some dogs are like this, right? And that was the end of it. That was the end, just like that. So when I see people with like well-trained dogs, this is a world I don't understand. I was at the park the other day with Luke and he was like hitting baseballs. And I look over and I see this dog off leash, just like sitting on a rock, just sitting there. And I was like, what is going on with this dog over here? And then I see its trainer like give it all these signals and the dog starts running around and doing all these tricks. It was amazing. So I walked up to the guy and I said, hey man, this is a little bit awkward because I didn't know the guy. I was like, do you mind if I like film your dog, because I'm a preacher, I'm gonna be talking about this on Sunday, and I would love to show a video of your dog. He laughed and he's like, yeah, sure. So he got the dog to sit on a rock again, and here's the dog. I cut the volume, I cut the sound because it was bad. He could get it to like sit up on that post. I don't know how he did it, but he did. Yeah, I don't understand this level of dog ownership. All right, but here's what I want you to take away from that video. That guy can take that dog anywhere without a leash because the dog learned to stay. Right? Because that dog abides, it has freedom. And the same is true of us. The more we learn to abide in Christ, and the more we learn to tap in to that spiritual power that we have through faith. And so I love this image that Leonard Sweet paints of the dog. Again, I apologize. I know it's not super flattering to be compared to a dog, but it works. It works. When we learn how to abide in Christ, when we learn how to stay, then we have the freedom, and Jesus says we will bear much fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing. All right, so how do we do it, right? How do we abide in Christ? So here's where we're gonna get into the practical stuff that I said was coming. The short answer, and this might not be super helpful, but the short answer is we just learn to sit and dwell and listen. It's as simple and as difficult as that. That's the short answer. There is a longer answer, though. So C.S. Lewis, he wrote this essay called The Seeing Eye, and he wrote it in response to when the Russians got to space for the first time. I don't remember exactly what the quote is, but they said something to the extent of like, hey, guys, we made it up to heaven, and God's not here. So C.S. Lewis, he wrote this essay called The Seeing Eye, both to kind of debunk that theology, but also to talk about how we can see God and how we often miss God. And the point of the essay is, if you don't see evidence of God on earth, you're probably not gonna see evidence of God in space. But if you do see evidence of God on earth, you will also see evidence of God in space. But kind of tucked into this essay, there's this great paragraph that I think is especially relevant to us as we talk about abiding in Christ. C.S. Lewis writes, how then, it may be asked, can we either reach God or avoid him? Well, he says, well, in our own time and place, avoiding God is extremely easy. Avoid silence, avoid solitude, avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. Concentrate on money, sex, status, health, and above all, on your own grievances. Keep the radio on, live in a crowd, use plenty of sedation. If you have to read books, select them very carefully, but you'd be safer to stick to the papers. You'll find the advertisements helpful, especially those with a sexy or snobbish appeal. And I think C.S. Lewis is right. The more noise that we surround ourselves with, the easier it is to miss God. So if we want to learn to abide in Christ, we have to learn how to still ourselves, how to quiet ourselves. And so over the next few minutes, I want to share three exercises to kind of grow into that. I'll start with the one that's the most difficult, or at least the one that's probably you got to build toward. It's the hardest to just start with. And that is just to be still and listen. When you pray, you don't always have to say anything. You can just be still and listen. It's like I said, when I go on a walk with my wife or sit with her at the breakfast table, sometimes you don't have to say anything. And that's true of us with God in prayer. Andrew Murray writes about this in his book, Abiding in Christ. He says, prayer is both one of the means and one of the fruits of our union with Christ. As a means, it's of great importance. Like all the things of faith, all the pleadings of desire, all the yearnings after of a fuller surrender, all the confessions of shortcomings and of sin, all the exercises in which the soul gives up self and clings to Christ, all of these things find their utterance in prayer. And I like how Murray says that prayer is both a means and a fruit of our union with Christ. As a means, you know, what he means is like we abide with Christ through prayer, right? It's through prayer that we're conscious of our union with him. It's a means. But also, as we grow in our faith, our union with Christ drives us into deeper and deeper relationship with God. And so in that way, it's a fruit of our union with Christ. When you still your heart before God, God will bring all kinds of things to your mind. Sometimes he'll show you areas of sin in your life, ways in which you need to change course. Sometimes he'll remind you of blessings in your life, right? Things, good things that you take for granted, ways in which he's blessed you. Sometimes he'll remind you of what's truly important in life. I know if I'm stressed out about something and I quiet myself before God, he might bring to mind like, Matt, what are the things that are most important to you in your life? And he also might reveal to me ways I'm tempted to, you know, sacrifice true happiness for fleeting pleasures. And it's those moments where I'm often driven to a prayer of surrender, right? Where I can hand things back over to God and say, God, you know, this is in your hands now, and I trust you, and I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. So God will speak to you in the stillness and in the silence, but we have to be willing and able to still ourselves and to quiet ourselves. So some of you might hear that and you think, that sounds really hard. Like, I don't have the patience for that. And that's okay. I get that. Like, you can build up to it. So a second thing that you can do is pray the Psalms, right? Pray the Psalms. If you have trouble stilling your heart or you have trouble, just being still and listening to God, one of the ways that you can train yourself to do this is by praying the Psalms. And what I mean by this is just get out your Bibles, turn to the Psalms, and change the words into a prayer. So like, for instance, Psalm 23 is one that many of us are familiar with. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can read that and then turn it, like pray it, Lord, you are my shepherd, I shall not want. And then take some moments to just chew on that. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean that the Lord's my shepherd? How has he been a shepherd to me? What does it mean that I shall not want? How has God provided for me in the past? And take as much time as you need to reflect on the words, visualizing it, going over it. And then when you're ready, move on to verse 2 and do the same thing. And what this does is it trains you to slow down. To slow down and just spend time with God. And also you're going through the word. So it's like doubly awesome. Not every psalm works for this, but many of them do. So praying the Psalms is a great way to learn to abide in Christ. Now, if that kind of sounds too intimidating to you now, there's something else you can do, and that is journal your prayers. Journal your prayers. Journaling prayers is especially valuable because it forces you to slow down. If you're just speaking your prayers, either out loud or in your head, it's really easy, or at least it's really easy for me, to turn praying into just like a checklist, right? I've got the things I want to pray about, and I can just make my way through the list while my mind is on like the Seahawks or, you know, a project I got to get to later or whatever. But it's harder to do that when you journal, right? When you journal, you got to slow down, and it forces you to dwell with the Lord. So if you like to journal prayers, or if you're willing to give it a try, I would also recommend either in the back or the front, however you want to do it, have a section where you just split the paper in half and you have prayer requests on one hand and answers on the other column, and just keep track of what have you been praying for and how has God answered the prayer. And if you want to put the date there, that's also helpful. And so that way later, if you start to feel bad, you can look through and you can see all the ways that you were praying and all the ways that God answered those prayers, and it can be encouragement to you. And so if all of this is new and scary to you, start with that. Start with journaling your prayers. And as you learn to slow down and dwell with God, then you can move to praying through the Psalms. And then finally, as you do that, you will eventually get to a place where you don't even need the Psalms in front of you, where you can just be still and sit and dwell and abide. And again, I apologize for the illustration, but when you learn to stay, a whole new level of opportunities and freedom open up to you. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Now, this is going to bring us to our time of response. The band's going to come back up. We've got another song that we're going to sing. And while we sing, we're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So a team is going to bring out carts. There's going to be carts all around the room. You're free to go to whatever station you'd like. And also, I just want to remind you, you have time. So you don't have to get up right away. If you want to remain, like abide in the Lord's presence and reflect for a few minutes and then get up and go, you're free to do that. You're also free to get up right away if that's what you'd want to do. But while we sing and while we remember Jesus, I'd also love to pray for you. I am going to be back there in that corner. Steve is going to be back there by the offering box, and Amanda from the women's prayer team is going to be back there by that offering box, and they would love to pray for you as well. Now, like I said, we're emphasizing discipleship in 2024. We want to live like Jesus. And we don't want to live like Jesus out of fear or out of guilt, but rather out of a recognition that this is who we were meant to be. And I love that the image of the dog, right? When we learn to abide in Christ, when we learn to live out of the power of the Holy Spirit, then we don't have to be on a leash, right? We're free. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, excuse me. Phil, I'm going to cough. Look, he was on it before I even said it. Good job. All right. That dog in that video I played, super cool job. Actually, what that dog does is it finds kids who are lost in the woods. And so what that guy was doing was, that's why he was having to jump over stuff and go under stuff, because it was simulating what it was what it would be like to run through the woods and jump over logs and stuff like that. It's a really cool job that that dog has, but there's no way she could do that job if she hadn't first learned how to stay. Right now, learning how to abide, it's a lifelong journey. And none of us have it perfectly figured out, right? We are all works in progress. So if you feel like God is nudging you today, that he's calling you into a deeper relationship and you want to respond to that call, I'd love to pray for you about that. Anything else going on in your life, concerns about your kids, about your job, about your health, I'd love to pray for those things too. Now, I love the quote that I read earlier by C.S. Lewis from the essay, The Seeing Eye, on how to reach for God and how to avoid him. There's more to the quote that I love. I read the part already where he talked about how to avoid God. That's the easy part. But what about the other part? How do you reach for God? This is what C.S. Lewis says. About the reaching, I'm a far less reliable guide. That's because I never had the experience of looking for God. It was the other way around. He was the hunter, or so it seemed to me, and I was the deer. And that's true, right? We are not seekers. If we are seekers, that makes God the hider. And God is not a hider. Amen? Amen. God is the hunter, and we are the deer, and he is seeking us. Or to use the Apostle John's words, the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The scriptures tell us that God is relentlessly pursuing us, that he is reconciling us back to himself through the work of Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. All right, well, if you believe that, then God is calling you back to himself, and we respond to that call every day. Every day we have to respond to that. And we have the opportunity right now to abide with Jesus at his table. Would you stand with me as we remember Jesus? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are a God who seeks us. We thank you for your relentless pursuit of you. And I've heard so many stories of your faithfulness and how you've chased different people in this congregation down. Father, we take this moment and just recognize your presence here with us. We thank you for the work of Jesus, that it's only through his death for sins and resurrection that we had any hope of being reconciled to you. And Father, we look forward to the day when the dwelling place of God is with people again, and we are fully aware of your presence in every moment of every day. And so, Father, now we just ask that you be glorified in our worship. It is our confession that Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead, and we worship him now in Jesus' name. Amen.